Patients come in with it in their scalp. They'll call me and say, I'm losing my hair. It's so bad. I need to switch, whether it be injections or pills or whatever. They're 100% thankful. And that's what makes it all the best, you know, is when they come back in happy and you know you've helped that person.
Welcome to That's Derm Good. I'm Janelle Ball, and I'm excited to bring you thought-provoking conversations about biologics, specialty medications, treatments, and so much more. I'll be chatting with some amazing guests about access, affordability, and advocacy. You're really going to enjoy this show. Welcome to That's Derm Good. Thank you for joining me. Today, my guest is Carrie Wilt, a biologic coordinator, a office manager, and also a patient advocate. So, Carrie, welcome. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's so exciting to talk to you. Number one, it's always exciting to talk to another biologic coordinator because it's still difficult for people to understand exactly what we do. And I've had several coordinators on the podcast, so it's been exciting to connect with somebody. But I remember like back in the day where I would talk and I'd be like, wait, you're going through the same thing that I am? You understand the struggle with insurance? What?
Yes, that is the biggest hurdle is insurance.
Yeah, they don't make it easy for us. That's for sure.
They sure don't. They sure don't. We need to come up with ways to make it easier.
Yeah, definitely. So Carrie, tell me, okay, let's start back from the beginning. This is something that I always love to do because any guest that comes on the podcast, I want to know, like, what's your background story, your history, and how did you even get into dermatology? Because dermatology is such a fun space and everybody's story is so unique. So I love being able to kind of highlight that and talk about, you know, what brought you into the healthcare field in the first place.
This goes back maybe 30 years ago. I was here as a patient. I had psoriasis and had no idea what it was. So I came in for appointments and the doctor here at the time put me in the light box. So I was coming a couple times a week and I was in one day and the office manager here that was here at the time had asked me if I knew anybody who wanted a job. And all I wanted to do was work. Also, I wanted to do was wear scrubs. That's all I wanted to do. So my job then was working for the local grocery store here and I was doing the receiving. So I was done with work by 1 o'clock. So I had the whole afternoon to do whatever. And I would go home and take a nap. And I'm like, huh, maybe I can do this for extra money. And, you know, and that's how it all came about. And I found out she was wanting to retire. And the doctor now approached me and asked me if I wanted to take over. And I was like, okay. So I did. And 25 years later, here we are.
Wow. So you just kind of got thrown into it. You already think about like wanting to be in medical space?
I did. I went to EMT school. I wanted to do that. But then going through the school, it just really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So then I thought about going to nursing school. So when I got here and I was doing derm, then I was like, I love it. So this is where I stayed and still here.
So how did that evolve into becoming the biologic coordinator?
Well, once biologics started to come out, of course, I was the guinea pig. I wanted to be on them all. You know, everybody came in and promised, you know, clear skin. And I wanted that for me. So I did it. I was the only one that even knew what psoriasis was at the time. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And it just never left me. I've done it all these years. I think starting back with Amaviv or whatever it was back in the day. So it goes way back. Remicade and all those, like, so I started doing it. And then, of course, they all started coming out with more and more. And here we are today doing it. Crazy as it sounds.
Yeah. But you're probably one of the best people to do it because you understand it from experience. So you knew the struggle. You knew, you know, what it was like to go through that process. I mean, obviously, there was no training on doing a prior authorization and how to get the access and learning about all the bridge programs and this copay support and all of that,
nothing.
You know, there was nothing, no training for that. So, but you were living in it already.
Yeah, I was living in it. And at the time I had no idea, like you said, what a copay card was. You know, you went in and you signed up these patients for these biologics and crossed your fingers and hoped that their insurance said yes, which, you know, made it easy. But if they said no, you were in it for the long haul. But I knew insurance wanted you to give up when they said no, but I wasn't about to give up. I didn't give up. And I know I fight for everyone because I am one.
Right.
You know, now that it's been out there for numerous years, you know, you would like to think what the next few years are going to bring. If it's kind of easy now, it's easier. I can't say it's easy. It's easier than it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people like you and I don't know, we feed off each other and, you know, hopefully they continue to do that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to take it back a little bit further. So before you started working in the office, your experience as a patient with psoriasis, like when were you first diagnosed with psoriasis and what was that struggle like?
So I wanted to have a baby. I was newly married and all I wanted to do was have kids. So it wasn't easy for me to have kids. So I had to turn to fertility and I went on all the fertility medications. And once I started in that process is when I started breaking out. And it's self-diagnosed, you know, being on all those different medications is and the stress of trying to get pregnant, all that, I think that could have aggravated it. And I want to remember that it started in my scalp. And I was like, you know, I'd scratch my head and all these flakes would fall down. And I was like, just dandruff. Well, then it started showing up everywhere else. So I kind of chalked it up to being on all those other kind of medications that kind of kicked it in. And then once it kicked in, that was it. You couldn't control it. You couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have it for a million years.
Wow.
But I had it when I did get pregnant. I had it all through my pregnancy. It was probably the worst it's ever been, was during my pregnancy, because you can't do anything, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I lived with it. But the second I delivered those babies, that was it. I wanted treatment and I wanted it right now.
So who was your first provider that you saw? Was it your OB or was it a dermatologist? Did you know to go to a dermatologist?
Yes. So I did go to the dermatologist and he was the one who put me on the light box.
Mm.
So prior to me going on all the fertility stuff, I was working here.
Oh, okay.
So I had already started, like I want to say my first one was Enbrel. We'll say that. Mm-hmm. And then it cleared me, but it didn't clear me 100%. But then that didn't work. Well, then I had to go on all these fertility meds. Prior to even coming here, I was trying to have a baby. You know, and I tried 10 years to have a baby. So in that 10 years is when it really came out. And I started doing light treatments. And he's like, you know, light treatments is probably the safest, blah, blah. So that's where I started. And, you know, as everybody knows, sometimes a light box isn't the answer either. You know, mm-hmm. and it's discouraging. You know, it's an awful, awful disease. Awful. And it's mm-hmm. awful to see other people. But then when it's you, yourself, it's 100 times worse.
Yeah. So how did that affect your personally and mentally? Or did it affect your relationships?
Mentally, it took a strain. You know, it was summertime and I was in long sleeve, you know, shirts and pants always. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd go out with our friends. Everybody's in, you know, cute dresses and shorts and stuff. And I'm in long pants and a long sleeve shirt. You know, I've been with my husband for 36 years. You know, he was with me when I first got it. So he knew. So mm-hmm. relationship wise, I wasn't too concerned. But socially, you know, I was like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to go out. I certainly don't want to go to the beach, nor do mm-hmm. I want to go to the pool. But, you know, I had a pool at home. So I'd go out there on the weekends and try to get rid of it. Or mm-hmm. I'd run to the beach. I'm 5 minutes from the beach. So, you know, I was risking getting skin cancer because I wanted to get rid of my psoriasis. And in the beginning, it worked. It helped. And I had a nice tan, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah. In the summertime is when most of patients where you don't see them because everybody wants to go out and be out in the sun because they feel mm-hmm. like it's curing their skin. So, I mean, just from your experience, I mean, you would go out in the sun and then, I mean, would you put sunscreen on or were you just going
no.
out?
No.
No
sunscreen.
No. No sunscreen.
No. I wanted whatever was going to work. I would put suntan oil. on my plaques because I wanted the sun to hit that. I didn't care about the rest of me. I just wanted, you know, the plaques to go away. I was going to do whatever I had to do to get rid of it. You know, creams.
Yeah.
No, creams didn't work. I wanted to be out in the sun, you know, and for a long time it did work. And, you know, and I remember we'd go on a trip and I'm like, all right, I got to give myself 2 weeks. I got to be in the sun as much as I can so that when we go on a vacation, I can at least wear a short sleeve shirt. I'll start with that. And I did. And it didn't take it away, but it took it away enough to where I wasn't like, you know, freaking out every time I walked into public.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of planning and prep.
No, it's a lot of work.
And then you had kids too. You had little ones. How many little ones at that time?
I had twin girls.
Twin girl. Okay. Yeah. So how did that affect you as a mom then, even taking care of newborns and still dealing with the stress of your skin?
It wasn't easy. I remember going to appointments and the first thing I would tell them when I had to go was, look, I have psoriasis. It's all over me. You're going to see it. So I was like, don't freak out. But it was all over my stomach, you know, and I had to do all these ultrasounds and, you know, being with twins, I had to see a high risk. So I was going down there once a week, you know, and do ultrasounds on my stomach. And I'm like, I was so embarrassed. But, you know, and then I'd have C-section and, you know, my stomach's exposed to all these people in here with, you know, trying to have a C-section. And I was like, oh, they're probably wondering how disgusting is this? But you know what? I got two beautiful girls out of it. And I'm thrilled to death.
Yeah.
Once I got through the whole, you know, a couple months after they were born, I was back at it. I wanted it gone. So I was waiting for that next drug to come through. And whichever one it was is the one that I was going to be on because I wanted something rapidly to work.
Yeah. So let's talk about that too. So, because this is really unique with being on a different end, because most patients, you know, they're coming in and they really don't have an idea of what is available, what medications are there to treat their psoriasis, and even just getting the access, you know, as far as understanding the programs or the copay, you know, the copay cards and stuff like that. But what happens if there's a denial in the bridge program? So you had like a different view of all of that. You were able to kind of see as things were coming out and was available. So what was your process? I mean, because what was your BSA, I guess? What was your body surface area as far as how much was covered with psoriasis?
Gosh, a lot. I'm going to say 50%.
Yeah.
My whole stomach, my back. I mean, it was probably more than that. But I also want to feel that the medications that I was on, like when they would come out and I would start, I mean, it would take some of them away, but I was never, ever 100% clear, ever, ever. You know, I would still have to use creams and, you know, stuff. And I would still go into the light box. We have one here. And after work, I would go stand in there for, you know, however long I was in there at the time. But again, to do anything and everything I could to get rid of it. And being that I was so fully covered, it was awful. Joint pain, everything.
When did you start developing the joint pain?
That came later, years later.
Yeah.
And then it was just like one day I was working in the yard and the next day I was like, I can't even make a fist. And I was like, oh, it's just because I think I was pressure cleaning something at the time. And I was like, I can't even make a fist. But that fist swelling in my hands never went away. Until I got on stuff that was treating arthritis as well. But it's awful. That part of it's awful too. The whole circle of the whole disease is terrible. You know, and when they came out saying how this drug would cover your skin and arthritis, I was like, this is a win-win. But for me, it didn't add up to what they were telling me.
Yeah. First, how many different biologics were you on until you found what works?
Well, the list is shorter for the ones I haven't been on.
Wow.
I've been on all of them. And seriously, the list is much shorter of what I haven't tried. Enbrel, Humira. And when I tell you all of them, all of them, when they would come out, it seemed like it was always every couple of years too, like right on the date. So they reps would come in and they're like, oh, my drug is coming out. It's going to be released any day now. I'm like, perfect. I'm day one. And they'd come in, approval was here. Day one, I was filling out my paperwork, you know, and by however long it took, I was taking it. And nothing. I don't want to call anybody out, but you know, but Skyrizi, they, you know, they said, this is going to be the cure. Okay. But it wasn't the cure for me, although it's a great drug.
So, I mean, and that's going to be frustrating, you know, going through all of that, trying something new so often to feel that disappointment of it not clearing your skin. And, you know, now it's like the expectations. I mean, before, when a lot of the biologics were coming out, there really weren't that high of expectations as far as being clear. And now, because there's so much of a variety and so many that are available, those expectations are so much higher. And it's like, okay. And, you know, granted, obviously, every single person is going to be different. So their skin is going to react differently to every medication. You know, there's, it's not a one shoe fits all, which is great why we have so many options. But, you know, that's got to be frustrating for anyone.
It really is. You know, and even today, when patients come in with psoriasis and, you know, they're at the end of their rope too, and they just want to go on something that's going to work. You know, and the doctor pulls me in, we talk about it together to figure out, you know, what's the best. But, you know, a lot of them, they do work. It's just that person. It has to be the right person.
Right. I feel like
and
you...
I'm stubborn in every way. So... It doesn't surprise me that they don't work as quick as I want. So I want rapid results. And it's not happening rapidly.
Well, and I feel like you've got two different hats. Like you've got to wear, I'm a patient hat and I'm a biologic coordinator hat. So, you know, it creates this perfect kind of advocate because you can understand and feel what the patient is going through. And then at the same time, you're also able to help them navigate it and know, okay, this is the next step. And part of that with us being a biologic coordinator is we are advocates for our patients and we're able to provide them support and resources when it comes to getting access to the medications. And, you know, that's one thing that I've seen now is that there's bridge programs and there's support. And, you know, just in my experience has just been really, you know, good to know that there's support there. So it's like trying to keep that hope alive and, you know, and trying to continue with pushing towards those goals. So let's talk about what has worked for you.
Okay. Well, let's start with Remicade.
Okay.
Remicade, I think I was on 2009, maybe, and it had just come out. And I remember going and sitting for the infusion and I had no idea what I was in store for. I went to the infusion center. They put me in a room. They did IV. They told me they were giving me two Tylenols. They were going to give me some Benadryl and we were going to start. Well, the Benadryl probably made it up to my shoulder and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. So I fought it because, you know, I didn't want to fall asleep in the middle of the office. But that one was the closest one that has ever close to clearing me, I guess. And I remember it was a Mother's Day right after I started. And I felt that my legs were clear enough to where I could go get a pedicure. And my husband and the kids took me to go get a pedicure. And I sat there and I was like the happiest girl in the world. So I got my pedicure and I was like, this is the best drug in the world. That lasted, we'll say 3 years. And then I started seeing it come back on my arms a little bit. And I was like, all right, I know what this means. So then they threw some methotrexate at me to see if it would kickstart it again. That didn't really work too much either. And then after that, I honestly can tell you, I don't remember anything that has 100% cleared me until recently. And then recently I went to the doctor here, my main guy, and I was like, we gotta do something. Nothing is working. You know, I've done these creams out, these new creams. I'm too widespread now. And he's like, all right, let's get with Dr. Glick. So I was like, okay. So I went to go see him and he said, you've been on everything. He said, let's try Salik. And I was like, okay, I'm in. So, you know, he's of course talking about the black box and I'm like, fine, let's do it. So I get back to the office. I started the paperwork right away. And I want to say within 2 weeks, I had Salik in my hand. So I started doing it. And that lasted all the way November, because I was at the biologic meeting in Texas. And I remember talking to the Salique reps, and I was like, it wants to work. I can tell that it wants to work. It's just not there yet. And I came back home and I was due for my shot. So got it out. I was like, this time I'm going to do it in my leg. So I did it in my leg. And then a day or two later, I noticed that things were really lightening up. And I was like, this is impossible. Like all of a sudden it's going to start working just out of the blue like this. You know, prior to that, everybody's like, give it 3 months. If it's not gone 3 months, we'll figure something out. Don't worry. Don't keep worrying about it. So that was that one. And then 2 weeks later, I had to do it again. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it my other leg. So I did it in the other leg. And the very next day, I came to the office and I showed the girls here and I'm like, you guys gotta look at this. And I was clear. So then every day, spots would go away. And when I tell you, I woke up one day and every part of me was 100% clear. And to this day, I am 100% clear. I know. I know. It's so crazy. And I tell everybody, I'm like, it is the weirdest thing. Like, I literally sat here and watched them disappear.
That's
And
amazing.
now I'm wearing shorts and I'm wearing short sleeve shirts. And, you know, I haven't been to the beach yet because it's ice cold. But even to the pool, I haven't done any of that either. But I will, you know.
With your
So
sunscreen
with my sunscreen on this time, yes.
That's amazing.
I love every minute of it. So I don't forget my shot. Like it's on my calendar to do, and I know that I give it to myself on my pay day weeks. So, and we get paid every other week, so I know I do it when I get paid is when I do Salik.
So how has that impacted your relationships and your family life? And going from 50% covered
Oops.
to now
What happened?
clear.
I want to go do things now. Now that I'm wearing shorts, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get a little bit shorter shorts. Not that I'm wearing short shorts, because I'm not, but you know, I'm not trying to pull my shorts down to cover a spot anymore. I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops and, you know, short sleeve shirts and things that I haven't worn in a long time. And I look at my skin every single day. And if there's one little spot on there, I'm asking my husband, is this a psoriasis? And he's like, it is not. Relax. But you know, even my kids, I'm like, what is this? And they're like, relax, it's not. I'm like, okay. So I'm stressing myself out, but I look at every spot on me all the time. I have the kids look at my back. I'm like, what do you see back there? And they're like, everything is clear. Don't worry.
Is amazing. So, I mean, that completely changes your whole outlook and your whole attitude with, just in general of wanting to do things.
I want to do it all. You know, my husband loves to go on cruises. So, you know, so do I. But, you know, there was a time where I'm like, I don't want to go on the boat, you know, because I don't want to go to the pool. And I don't want to go walk around the island either. You know, let's just think of another trip to go on. Now, we just got back from one last weekend. So,
That's
you know,
amazing.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do it all.
So it's improved your quality of life. It's
Yes.
improved just your overall outlook, wanting to just be able to do more and to do things with your family, spending time with your family. And I feel like it changes your whole personality.
It does. It really does. Go to family functions. You know, I'm not covered up. Everybody knows I have it, you know, but I'm still, you know, we go to family functions and everybody wants to take pictures. So now, you know, I'll take a picture. Before I'm like standing in the back, hiding behind people, you know, trying to cover my arms and my legs. Not anymore. I want to be up front.
I
So.
love that. It's just such an inspiring story. And, for you to be able to be on that side and see other people coming through that. So now it's like you can really impart a lot of that wisdom and that strength to keep going with your patients.
I do. And, you know, these patients come in here, you know, they're sick of it too. You know, and a lot of times people don't come in here and not know what it is. And even if they do, you know, they're so bad. You know, we go right to the biologic part of it. And some of them are on board, but some of them are, you know, they're like, I'll do the cream still, which is totally fine, your choice. But, you know, once I get these people covered and I see it to the end and they get that first injection and they start to feel better, I'm getting calls all the time, you know, thanking me. And, you know, these patients come in here and call me their angel. And that just makes me feel so special Because, you know, I hate to see them scratching their skin to death. And again, I'm one of them and I'll fight for them too, you know, and I would fight just as hard as I do for myself for them, just because I know what it is and I know what it's like. It's awful.
So what education did you feel like you had to provide for your family?
My husband was there when they told me what it was. So he kind of knew, you know, my parents, you know, whatever I wanted to do, you know, they supported it, you know, like going on these medications. And, you know, I think they knew about it already. You know, I've asked my parents if anybody and, you know, like grandparents had it. And, you know, they said no, that nobody that they can think of or remember. So, you know, back to the whole fertility thing, you know, I was reading, can medications cause this? And, you know, I'm pretty sure I read it somewhere that, you know, certain medications can cause flares or psoriasis. And I'm like, that's it. So I self-diagnosed myself for, you know, medications that could be a part of it. You know, but it was stressful for me. It was all my friends were getting pregnant and having babies, and I was going to their baby showers and doing stuff like that. And here I am, the one that doesn't have kids, you know, and we'd go out with them and they'd be bringing their kids, and I didn't have that. And that's what I wanted. And I wanted to do whatever I had to do to have that. And fertility was the option. And if psoriasis came from that, then it came from that. But in the end, I got two beautiful girls, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love your story. And so now, because you work with access and patients, obviously the prior authorizations and trying to get patients started on medications, what is some of the biggest challenges that you see when it comes to access? Not just for Salik, because now, you know, you're like an expert with Salik. You can do that one in your sleep probably. But you know, just in general, what are some of the biggest issues that you're seeing when it comes to access?
We are in a very older generation office. Our patient load is on the older side. So finding coverage for them is a challenge. You know, their insurance is not going to do it. You know, you might get lucky and one of them may go through, or you may get lucky and that person can qualify for some assistance. But to me, that's a challenge. And when I can't do anything for my Medicare people or anything like that, it breaks my heart because they're in a mess, you know, and that's a frustrating part for me. You know, obviously all the commercial people, they go right through. It's an easy one. You know, my other challenge is figuring out where to send the drug to, you know, once I do get the approval. It's not easy here trying to figure out what pharmacy to send it to. So, I mean, that's a game too, you know, and I wish there was a way that was more streamlined. I don't know how we can make that happen, but you know, if I had a guide to go on, you know, I think that would be easier. Maybe speak to some of the other girls and you yourself and help me figure that part out too. But you know, the insurance to me is the worst.
Especially for when it comes to like specialty pharmacies, because there's so many different carve out plans now. And you know, before it was like, okay, yeah, I know Optum goes to Optum Specialty, or CVS, you know, goes to CVS Specialty, and Express Scripts and Accredo go together. So now it's like, who goes where? You see some of these plans, you see an Anthem plan, and you're like, okay, where does this go? I have no clue. But you know, so, and not every benefit investigation will tell you, because all these plans are so different. These pharmacy benefit managers, they're connected with multiple different specialties or small carve out specialty pharmacies. So, you know, it's kind of a guessing game. And you would think that that prior authorization approval letter that we get in the mail, that it would automatically say, oh yeah, by the way, you've been approved and you can fill it at, or you have to fill it at this specialty pharmacy.
That would be the best if we can make that happen.
We got to make a petition for that to
We
happen.
do. We do need to. It would make the whole process go a lot quicker and easier. You know, and when you do, I use CoverMyMeds a lot. I don't know if you do, but you know, sometimes, you know, when you do it, it'll pull up Optum and you're like, okay, well, this is an easy one. But then sometimes not. Sometimes it's just a generic form and you're like, what? What am I doing with this?
I had that happen to me the other day. I thought it was like very straightforward. I'm pretty sure it was like an Anthem plan. And I thought, you know, okay, I know where this goes. And then it was like Optum. And I was like, this doesn't even sound right.
Right.
Like, how is this even happening?
I know. And then you put all that work into it and it's not right. You know, you set everything to where you think that it's supposed to go. And then they send you a letter back and they're like, yeah, we don't cover this one. And I'm like, oh, that was an hour that I just spent on that. You know, when you got 25 waiting on you.
Right.
Like little things like that. We can figure out a way. I think it would make things so much smoother.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things I've been trying to do is figure out ways to really streamline that workflow for the biologic coordinators so that, you know, because a lot of the issues and the delays can be because of us having to backtrack or do extra steps because there's things that are missing or insurance, you know, demands or requirements and, you know, wanting to see the chart notes and things like that. So, you know, it's really about trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to streamline the process and to make it easier, not only for us, but for the patients as well, because they're getting multiple phone calls. They're getting, you know, stuff in the mail because insurance is sending letters. They'll send a approval letter and then, or a denial letter. And then you get like five other letters. Let's not make this as confusing to patients because that's frustrating.
Right. And that's another thing too. If they would just step back a little bit on sending out paperwork to patients, you know, meaning don't send that we're working on this or don't send that they're approved before we get the approval. Because sometimes they get it and they call me and they're like, oh, I've been approved. I'm like, you have? I'm still waiting for that. So then, you know, they'll either bring it to me or, you know, within the next day or so, I'll get it too. But, or they'll say they're denied. And then the patient calls freaking out because they're denied. Okay, just relax. Right. So, you know, you have to try to calm the patient down now because now they're freaking out because they've been denied because the insurance is sending out letters before they even let the people working on it know.
Yep.
So many little things, Janelle, that we can work on to get this streamlined better.
For sure. Well, yeah. And, you know, it is frustrating, but, you know, I think what's really cool is that, you know, we do have a lot of resources at our fingertips and we have a voice too, to be able to say, hey, we need some help. We need to see some change. And, you know, there's a lot of different avenues that we can go down to really try to create change or create resources and things like that so that patients feel educated, you know, and feel like they've got enough support. And also us, you know, when we're trying to get that access, that part is so important. We can't do it alone and we can't, you know, manage all of that by ourselves. I feel like that collaboration is so important and being able to talk to others and say, okay, what works well for you? What are some things that you're doing that I could incorporate into my workflow that can really help me gain access for my patients and run into less hiccups and less issues?
100% agree. You know, like prior auth, for example, in the beginning, I was sending all the prior auths to a specialty pharmacy. You know, the reps would come in and say, oh, they'll do it all for you. And I'm like, somebody do my work for me? I'm in. So I did that. And then, I don't know, it was just too much and it was taking too long. And finally I was like, that's it. I'll just do it myself. And I find that I get it done quicker when I do it by myself. It's just trying to find out where to send the prescription once I get the approval or the denial and they want to send back to the hub and they'll put them on, you know, bridge or whatever they're going to put them on. And okay. But then after that, where's it going to go? I need to know. Right. So we need to figure all that out, but
yeah,
maybe one day.
Yeah. That's definitely the beauty of collaboration and being able to connect with others that are doing what we do and feeling that support. I think that's huge. So wearing your patient hat now, what is something that you would like for your patients to know when they're struggling with psoriasis and, you know, maybe getting started on a biologic or specialty medication?
I want them to know, one, they're not alone. Two, there is medications out there that are safe, that are very effective. We can get them on it. The timeline is unknown, but we'll do our best and we'll get it done as quick as we can. We would love nothing more than to see them come in here with clear skin and happy and wearing shorts and short sleeve shirts. You know, I love that. I do give my cell phone out to a lot of my psoriasis patients because I like to check in on them, you know, so, you know, they'll have a, you know, I give them about 4 weeks on it and then I'll call to check on them and, you know, or I'll have them text me and just say, I'm doing great, or, you know, has it kicked in yet or something, just some sort of feedback, just because I want to know, you know, I want to tell my story too. So, you know, I want them to be able to share theirs with me if, you know, if they choose to. But in the end, I hear about it, you know, they're very thankful, whether it be injections or pills or whatever, they're 100% thankful. And that's what makes it all the best, you know, is when they come back in happy and, you know, you've helped that person, you know, that just doesn't want to show their body anymore, you know, or skin, or, you know, wear their hair up. You know, patients come in with it in their scalp and they'll call me and say, I'm losing my hair. It's so bad. I need to switch, you know, and we get them switched and they're like, I went and got my hair colored. You know, that makes me so happy, you know, when they tell me that kind of thing. And I'm over the moon for them.
Yeah, it makes such a difference. And
it really does.
It does. It really kind of just fuels that passion of why we do this and wanting to help others and really wanting to advocate to say, hey, no, you have the ability to get clear and we want your quality of life to improve. We want you to enjoy, you know, your family, your personal time and being able to work and do things that you love. You know, that's so important.
Exactly. You know, when they come in and it's so bad on their feet and, you know, they come in there and tell me that they can put on shoes and wear sneakers and go for a walk and go dancing. Oh my God, I love that story when they're like, I'd love to dance, but I can't dance. And, you know, these older couples in here, that's what they do. They go to their clubhouse and they want to dance. But when one of them can't, you know, it takes them both down, you know, and they come in here and they tell me, oh, we went dancing. It just makes your whole day. It really does. Yeah. You know, and not just because you're one of them, but because you know that you helped somebody and you made them feel better. And it's just, it's a great feeling. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for joining me and sharing your story, because that means so much.
So well, thank you very much for having me. This was great. I appreciate everything. I really do.
Yes. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me and listening to That's Derm Good. You can expect new episodes of That's Derm Good every week. The podcast is available on your favorite app, including where you're listening right now. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode. Bye.